Hello and croeso to episode 141 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. As usual, I'm joined by Tommy Cowse and Rodri Davis. Cowse, I'll start with you. How are you on this lovely Tuesday afternoon, evening, wherever we're at?
Yeah, well, got to correct you there. It's not lovely where I am. It's absolutely pissing down. I think it's the same for Rodri as well. But otherwise, mate, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, Rod, how are you? Big weekend of drinking or night shifts or nothing?
Night shifts. Well, day shift Saturday, night shift Sunday. Not too bad a weekend to miss because it's been bloody miserable weather here as well. And it's May tomorrow and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, shambolic.
That's my weather observation then.
Great stuff.
In general, good. I'm fine. Yeah. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. All right then. Yeah. All right. There we are. Usual reminder from me that you can buy a variety of back issues of Alternative Wales, including our latest issue, issue 13, on alternativewales.com/shop. It is the best way to support the podcast. And we'll have news on June's edition shortly. So yeah, let's start with the showpiece event of the domestic Welsh football season, which is the Welsh Cup final, the third oldest cup competition in the world, culminated at Rodney Parade on Sunday evening with a shock win. The New Saints defeated for the first time in domestic competition this season to Connors Quay Nomads. Cowse, I didn't see this coming. I mean, you know, Nomads have had a cracking season. They've by far and away the second best team in the league, but they haven't even come close really to TNS in their four league games this season. And I thought it would be routine, even when Connors Quay went 1-0 up. You just know that TNS have got a bit more to give, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, delighted to say so as well, because I don't think it's good to see one team sweeping the board. So yeah, I was very very pleased to see Nomads do that. I've got to say, you know, there's something. Sometimes you get a manager who just knows how to manage his players on the big occasion. Gibbo, Neil Gibson, and obviously Jonah with Emily Jones has been, you know, they've. I mean, Gibbo's won two Welsh Cups as a manager now. One with Bastat in 2013. He's been an assistant manager as well. He's won it there. Sometimes a manager just knows how to get his players up for the big games, and clearly Gibbo's one of them guys. So yeah, delighted for them. Yeah, very, very strange that, you know, probably a below-par TNS display, really. But, you know, good to see a sort of semi-healthy crowd, 1,200. I mean, I've seen smaller crowds that...
Better than I expected, to be fair.
Yeah, I would have thought with the two teams... not being particularly well supported, let's be honest, and with it being, you know, a long, long old trip down.
And a Sunday evening.
Yeah, on a Sunday, it was slightly better. But for me, though, just a quick note on that, and I think I said it on last week's pod, I've certainly said it to you, Ray, before, I think we need to play, the Welsh Cup final needs to be at the Cardiff City Stadium every year, and let's grow it that way, because... let's be honest about it. Whether we thought there was going to be less or not, 1,200 isn't enough for a cup final. It doesn't reflect well on the league at all. So let's put it at the Cardiff City Stadium. We might have a couple of low ones to start off with, but then as you build it, it will grow and grow and grow. And there's no reason why in 10 years' time we can't be having 10,000 at a cup final. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it's... you know, or going off on a slight tangent on this, it's something that Jack Sharp mentioned last week in the strategy launch. He mentioned that, you know, need to be clear of where we're hosting finals at the start of the season. So you can't have this debate about why we play the game down south when it's in the north. You know, let's make it a target for clubs. And I think what would be brilliant is the Cardiff City Stadium is the home of the Welsh national team. You know, in the same way Wembley is for the English national team, it should host the final. I also think there's value in it being played in the race course. It'd be good to maybe rotate one year to the other, one down south, one down north every other year. But I also think, you know, play the Women's Welsh Cup final the same day. Maybe play the Amateur Trophy final. I mean, what was that this year? It was Penrhyn and Cork versus Newport City. Play all three games in a bit like the rugby do. They have that finals day, don't they, at the Millennium Stadium?
Yeah.
Where I think they play three finals at different levels. So... yeah, and you make an event, make it a big day out, and maybe rotate it between north and south. I'd like the idea of that. So,
I do have to say, I thought Rodney Parade was a strange venue in some ways. As we know, it's not a fantastic stadium by any stretch of the imagination, and it's located right at the southern tip. If we're going to have it somewhere like that, instead of somewhere like say, Newtown, then we may as well have it in Cardiff. It doesn't really make any sense having Newport. The race course, of course, I'd be happy with that, not just as a northerner, but as we know, the race course is
history.
It's just a much, much better ground than Rodney Parade, isn't it? So, for me, I agree with everything you've said, but I do sort of think, and I'm just looking across the pond at Ireland a little bit and how they've changed it to Lansdowne Road, and it's become such an event I mean, they had 45,000 at the last one, which is just...
Did they really?
Bloody
hell.
I think it was Bohemians against St. Pat's. So, okay, fair enough. It's two Dublin sides. But even so, 45,000. I mean, that is just unbelievable. We're miles behind them. And I let's not drag summer football into it, but let's try and copy what we can about Irish football.
Yeah, because, I mean, last time it was played at the Cardiff City Stadium was the TNS Pennebont game. And I know Pennebont are down the road. They took 2,000 there.
Yeah.
And it would be the same if Barry made the final. It would be the same if, Britain Ferry made the final or any of those southern teams made the final. Other than a few teams up north, they tend to be slightly better supported, I'd like to say. Obviously, there's quite a few teams up north that are. But I think what you get with Cardiff is because it's the centre of, Wales's largest population hub. The Valleys are only, a half hour away and Swansea's only an hour away. Newport's half an hour away. You get more neutrals coming along. Obviously, if I was in Bridgend on the weekend, unfortunately I wasn't, I would have gone along to Newport, but I would be even more likely to go along to watch it at, in Bridgend. So, yeah.
I think, in Budapest instead.
I did. Yeah, I was on a stag do. We were on a boat cruise. So I decided, I've seen the sights now. Let's pop the last half an hour of TNS Connors Quay on. And back to the game. I thought Connors Quay were fantastic defending. They didn't really give TNS an inch. They didn't really have like a proper chance late on. We know how brilliant TNS are at just getting results when they need to and going through the gears. And Connors Quay stopped that. And I think, Josh Williams' goal to win it, Rod.
Yeah.
What a finish and what a bit of technique. And I mean, he's had a great season.
DeCanio-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He's had a great season. He's only 19. And I feel like his ceiling's really high. And it was just a great goal to mark, a pretty historic day for the club. And take the as Galois in France said on Twitter, bring the cup back to Wales.
Fair play, hell of a strike. I didn't even realise he was only 19 until after, because I obviously couldn't watch the game live, so I just caught the goals afterwards. Is all I've seen of it, but hell of a technique, and it's a worthy winner of a cup final, isn't it? And like you said, I'm delighted. I'm not sure who out of Mike Harris and Gary Dewhurst, you're more happy for, boys.
I'm sure they both had lovely days. That's all I hope they had.
Yeah, a lot of wine afterwards. Maybe I don't know. I wouldn't like to assume.
Yeah, I think there were some deleted tweets on Monday morning. The less said about that, the better.
But hell of a goal to win it, and like both of you said, it's just nice that the cup's back in Wales, and nice to break that mould where TNS have just sweeping the boards and winning everything. So it's always a pleasure. Unfortunately, the only other team doing it really is Connors Quay. So it'd be nice to see other teams challenge for these cups in the coming years. But that's something to worry about in the future.
Yeah absolutely. Congratulations, Connors Quay. Really lovely to see them win. Let's hope that maybe next season they can close the gap on TNS and a few other clubs can close the gap on Connors Quay, and it's a competitive league. But that's the Cymru Prem and the Cymru Leagues done for the... actually, no, it's not. It's the playoffs. Ignore me. They're in 2 weeks' time, May the 11th, in the playoffs. So, the normal season is done and we have them to look forward to. Cardiff and Swansea season is almost done. One game left each. We won't talk about it now. We'll go into more detail on next week's season roundup with the fans of the five clubs. I think, you know, both their seasons have been over for a few weeks now. I think Swansea won, drew 2-2 to Norwich. Cardiff lost 4-1 to Middlesbrough, so not a fantastic weekend for them. But Bacaus Wrexham season is over. Another season of promotion. A great win against Stockport to sort of put the cherry on the cake. What more can you say about Wrexham season?
Yeah, just finished with a bang, really, right? Really, really good end to the season. It gives a bit more hope for next year as well. Obviously, there's going to be a decent-sized turnover of players. It was nice to get one over on Stockport, though. They don't really have too many rivals or traditional rivals, so they seem to really, really despise us. So that was quite a nice one for us. Not, I mean, you know, they're way down our list of rivals, really. But it was nonetheless, it was nice to get one over on it. They flew a plane over the race course with, county champions again, God save the king and all that nonsense. I just missed it with my BB gun, I'll next time. It was a good game. Wrexham deserved the win, and it was a great atmosphere at the end, and it was nice to see the players and their families enjoying it on the pitch. So that's what it's all about. End of the season, isn't it? Get, you know, finish the season on a high, and you know, despite the highs and lows, it's been an amazing season, really, when you look back, considering, you know, we literally couldn't buy a win in, I'm pretty sure Ryan and Rob tried to, an away win in January, February, start of March. So absolutely amazing, mate, buzzing. And we'll see what we can do next year, pal.
Yes, we'll dive into a bit more detail next week when we catch up for our season review pod. Newport, though, a disappointing end to what was broadly good season. You know, January, February, looking at a potential playoff push, but 8 defeats to finish the season, which is really disappointing way, considering, where they were at the turn of the year and they had such a good run. Rod, I mean, Newport fans won't be too concerned because, you know, they were very much safe, but it's not a great way to finish what was probably a pretty good season overall.
Yeah, I think just maybe the goals dried up because they were winning games but still conceding. And then last 8 or so games, like you just said, I think they just conceded a lot of goals and just couldn't outscore the opponents like they had been doing. But it's a bad way to end the season. You don't want to be going on that sort of run, losing that many games to end the season. It's probably put a downer on what if they'd managed to put a few wins together out of them 8, then they'd have reflected much differently, I think. But the overall picture, I think the fact that they've managed to get in a position at one stage where they might have had a sniff at playoffs is more than they could have hoped for, really, because even the most optimistic Newport fan was coming on the pod earlier in the season and commenting on Twitter saying, you know, mid-table is the best they can achieve. So, and that's pretty much where they are in terms of points. So I think I had a point to make then. It's completely gone. Wouldn't have been anybody. Fuck's sake.
I mean, I feel like it's a big summer for Newport, though, because obviously the takeover happened with Hugh Jenkins and, you know, there'll be a lot of suitors for Will Evans higher up the league table. It does feel a pivotal point for them. And have you remembered your point?
I've just remembered it. I was just going to mention how crazy it is that Doncaster got into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And when you see where they were, I think they were like bottom two last time I looked at that end of the table.
Yeah.
And now they're in the playoffs. So, you know, it's hope for Newport next season. They get their house in order and make sensible additions and just, you know, they're going to have to cut their cloth and all that. But there's always hope in League Two with them. You know, the playoff spots go right down to 7th, don't they? So,
yeah.
I think, you know, there's a bit of optimism as well there, I think, from seeing what teams are capable of doing in that league. That as long as you get your house in order and stick in there come the turn of the year, then, you know, the sky's the limit. And if Doncaster go up, that's one of the most crazy, crazy runs I've seen. Because I think they were on for 14 wins in a row or something, weren't they? Coming up to, if they won, I think they were 2-0 up and the keeper got sent off or something, yeah. So, you know, it's a mad old league. The leagues get crazier as you go down, I think. So Like, I think it's going to be League One's mad, and then League Two's batshit. So
I think it's going to be quite a weak League Two next year as well. I think, you know, you're losing the big hitters this season, Stockport, Wrexham. I mean, Mansfield have been tempting to go up for a while, and you know, whoever gets out of those playoffs, you know, I know MK Dons are really strong, and obviously Doncaster having a great run, and yeah, I feel like there's, you can put a run together, because the teams coming out of the conference aren't as good. Obviously, Chesterfield are fairly good, but you know what? I think the final Solihull, this is Bromley, you know, so they're going to be fresh new teams, and they probably won't be challenging at the top end of League Two. So Newport, you know, a good summer, some good recruitment, they might have a better run at it next year, Cows.
Yeah, I think they've had a good season, right? I really do. Forget the last eight games. They were home and dry. They were safe. Okay, they were going. The fact they were threatening to have a pop at the playoffs was incredible. Because I know for a fact their budget is one of the lowest. It may even be the lowest. I would say there's probably a couple with smaller budgets, but they certainly have not got a big budget there. And we know how important it is to have a few quid. It's going to be tough for them, like you say. I'm pretty sure Will Evans will be sought after. In fact, I'm almost certainly will be. Hopefully by Wrexham. I'd love to see him at Wrexham. It's going to be a tough summer for them. But I think they've got a great manager. I really do. I think he's a really, really good operator. He knows how to sort of, you know, put together a good squad. You've got to remember that it wasn't a big squad either. So, whether they've had injuries or what, I don't know.
I think there was a period of time they weren't even filling their bench because of injuries and various other things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that has a massive effect. You know, you're talking, you know, you're looking, maybe it's one all in a game. And sometimes you, as a manager, you look at your bench and you sort of go, oh, Christ, you know, we haven't got a hell of a lot here that can help us. But I, from a selfish perspective, I'm happy they've had this bad end to the season because I predicted 18th. I think I predicted 18th anyway.
I think I did as well, yeah.
Yeah, so selfish from that perspective. And John Morgan from Tinty and the Bucket Hats, I had a little bet with him at the start of the season who would finish higher. So I was pretty happy with that. But I think they'll be fine again next year. They need a bit of investment. But if they get that, I certainly think they've got the right gaffer.
Yes, definitely. Like I said, we'll get into more detail with probably one of the 1912 Exiles boys next week on the podcast. A disappointing-ish end to Merthyr season despite winning 7-1 on the final day. It feels like they spent pretty much all season in the playoffs and they've dropped out late on. Rod, it just feels like, obviously, I sort of follow Merthyr's results through, you know, the lads who follow them and their Twitter account. And it just felt like there was no rhyme or reason to their results. And I guess that inconsistency probably put pay to them in the end.
Yeah, I think they had a tricky patch halfway through the season because they had a flying start, didn't they?
They were unbelievable.
They were top for a while, I think. So, I think they've had a good season, though, all in all. You know, they'd be disappointed with the way it's ended and they're not in the playoffs. But I think, again, remarkable crowds there again, like more than they've had like last few seasons. And since that whole mothball thing, it's come back stronger and bigger than ever, I think. And I think they can build and be one of the strongest teams in the league next season on that basis. And if they can get the recruitment right and keeping the right players, Ricardo Reese, I'm not sure what his movements are, but he's scored a stupid amount of goals, hasn't he?
So, yeah, well, Nathan Evans asked on Twitter, 38 goals and 11 assists this season. That is batshit. And he does say, does he deserve a Wales call-up? And he obviously knows where the goal is.
Well, I'll be getting Ricardo on the back of my Wales shirt if he does.
those numbers will definitely, you know, perk the ears up of maybe a few National League sides, National League South sides, maybe even a couple of League Two sides. Because that is a big delivery of goals and assists.
It wouldn't surprise you to see Newport coming in for him, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise you at all. I'm sure Merthyr fans wouldn't enjoy me saying that. But it really wouldn't. And you know what? With those sort of numbers, who's to say he couldn't make the step up? I think maybe it's a fair size step, isn't it? But who knows? Who knows? Why not? But I think for me, The thing with Merthyr that's been most impressive is that how they've kept their crowds up despite, you know, like yeah. I say, the second half of the season hasn't been fantastic. You know, they had a little bit of a blip before Christmas, I think, if memory serves me rightly in there. But the crowds have been there. They've been supporting them all through the season, home and away. So that would be the thing from a positive angle, that if they can keep that feel-good factor going into next season and, yeah. you know, obviously get off to a good start again with a few additions, I think it could be their next year. I think they can go have a real go at promotion. But I think the thing is as well, I see a lot of people, a lot of friends on Twitter and stuff like that from you know, places, you know, a few miles down the road going to watch Merthyr. Mm. I don't think traditionally that's always happened. I think it's been, Merthyr have been a club supported mainly from people from Merthyr. But, you know, that's my understanding anyway, happy to be corrected. But I think that'd be great if they could sort of get a bit of a catchment area, even though, you know, I like to see people going to watch Cymru League sides. You know, the next best thing, if they can go watch a Merthyr or, you know, as I say, just go and watch a Welsh team of any description, I think that's fantastic and to be applauded. So fair play.
Yeah, they just feel like a club who are trending in the right direction. You know, I think it's only going to get better after, obviously, they had the mothballing and then relegated and then obviously... you know, reinstated and then having a great season. They've got a good manager. They've got a good core of players. And if they can keep hold of most of them, I think next season playoffs at a minimum, I'd say. So, yeah. Again, Louis Moore from Disturbed District will join us next week to discuss in more detail. And just to round off part one, just a word on Leighton James, really. Obviously, last week's pod was very Cymru Premier heavy and it sort of got lost in that news cycle for us. But I feel like we should talk about him. You know, weirdly enough, we only brought up the famous phone-in recently and then you know, it was only a fortnight later that he'd passed away. But Rod, just one of those great personalities of Welsh football. I mean, for us, he was very much... You know, my generation, and obviously you're a bit older than me, but I think still the case with you, he was a huge voice in our younger years on, you know, the Welsh football scene, whether it would be like, you know, the call-ins or, you know, coverage of the Welsh national team or whatever. But a fantastic player in his day, by all accounts, and maybe someone who's quite underrated. I think all around a bit of a Welsh football legend.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, like you just said, the pundit... And like kind of his journalism around the game, he used to do columns, and he was what I knew him initially for. But I loved him as a pundit. I loved the call-ins. I used to come back from trips with my old man and listen to him in the car on a Saturday afternoon, and Saturday evening on the call Rob section. I don't know if he had that moniker back then, but yeah, just loved it. And I met him in Kenfig Hill Rugby Club of all places one time, and. I think he'd been glassed in Wine Street or something the night before. But, yeah, he's obviously not mincing his words on nights out either. But yeah, he was a hell of a character. I really, really liked the guy. And I used to love seeing him on the telly and in the studio when the games used to be live on BBC and obviously on the phone-ins. But yeah, from all accounts, I think my old man has said... and. People in work with me who would have seen him play for Burnley back in the day and Dan Swans, just how good a player he was and how underrated he was. And he's never really had the hype of the likes of Toshak and, you know, beyond that, you've got like Rush and all them have had the plaudits, but he's never quite had the plaudits he probably deserved because he was I can't say from seeing myself and none of us really can, but he was a hell of a player. And he's loved in Burnley still, isn't he? And this just shows the impact he made up there. And he was part of that Swan side that just romped through the leagues as well. So, yeah, fantastic talent. And just, I didn't realise he was only, how old was he? 71? That's
I think he had a stroke not too long ago.
Yeah, he had a stroke 10 years ago as well, didn't he? So he's had a bit of a tough time over the last 10 years. But yeah, it's young, that is 71. It's no age really. These days, I know going back however many years, that's a hell of an age for a man to get to, but these days it's no age at all. And it's just, yeah, sad news really last week. But yeah, he's hopefully going to get the plaudits now and be remembered for how good he was and how much of a personality he was. And yeah, we'll always have that phone in.
Yeah, absolutely. Kaus, I think if I'm right in saying he was the last Welshman to score against England at Wembley.
I'm sure it was the infamous Anthem game, wasn't it?
Yeah, late 70s. Yeah, I think the last time we won at Wembley. Yeah, absolute.
I'm pretty sure it was the game where the England refused to play the Welsh national anthem, Hen had they, and you know, all the Welsh players stood there, didn't they, and made their point. Yeah. For me, as Rodri said, you know, for me, it was I remember him on the BBC. He was one of the main men for the Welsh football coverage on the BBC. And then later, I remember the real radio phone-ins. I think I think that was the one where Savage spoke to. But no, I was in a do in Wrexham on Friday night, and Rob Phillips was there, Lee Trendle was there, Mickey Thomas was there, and do you know, I had a chat with especially obviously Trendle knew him through Swansea, but chatting to Rob Phillips and Mickey Thomas about him, and you know, they were just saying what an unbelievable footballer he was, like really genuinely just a top player, and yeah, he was loved massively, and the biggest thing for me, which I think has been a fantastic thing to see, has been, you know, the amount of Cardiff fans, you know, paying their tributes as well, because I know Leighton had said a few things about Cardiff.
There's a brilliant song that was released pre-FA Cup final in 2008 called Late James Don't Like Us.
Do you know, I think that speaks volumes. And you know, when push comes to shove, you can talk about hatred, you can talk about football rivalry, but we're all Welshmen at the end of the day. We're all Welsh people. And you know, when we lose one of our own, despite our differences in Welsh football, you know, we come together and we, you know, we pay our tributes to who was a giant of Welsh football.
Yeah, and I think with that sort of thing, the, you know, the rivalry, you need people like that on the other side of rivalries, because it just makes it more fun, doesn't it? You know, I don't think anyone, it's not really any malicious intent in it. It's just what makes football rivalries great. Yeah. And, he was a villain to Cardiff fans in that sort of pantomime that is the rivalry, and
one of those you need, because
it gives it more of an edge, and it makes it a bit more fun when you do win, if you are a Swansea fan and you see Leighton James, you know, doing what he does, it makes it even more enjoyable for Swansea fans.
I've just remembered now that last summer, I think it was, as close back as last summer, I think I was down watching cricket in Kindover in the Castle Fields, and he was the umpire. And I just got to give a shout out, our friend of the pod, a pilot, did say, hell of a footballer, hell of a media personality, shit umpire. he made some really rascal calls as an umpire. And he made a few that day I was watching as well. So. Hell of a boy.
Some would say savage umpiring from later.
Oh, have you sent him a letter? Oh, I hope that goes on his tombstone. Right, yeah. Rest in peace, Leighton James, a Welsh football legend. From one Welsh football legend to another, then. I feel that's quite harsh, actually, on Leighton. We're going to do Adrian Phillips next, and then we'll be back for the lineup game and your questions to finish off. Adrian Phillips, are you there?
Loud and clear, mate.
Loud and clear. Loud and clear again on your recent visit to... was it Rhyadr you went? You weren't really that clear on exactly where you were or why you were there, but... we've got a new way. Off you go, Phillips, is what I'm trying to say.
I wasn't right. I didn't want to give my location away, but then I forgot it wasn't live, so I just pointless, wasn't it?
Yeah, well. But yeah, obviously, this is we hinted at it last week. You had a very ABBA town-heavy weekend. You went to watch ABBA Women Reserves play in a cup final against Clanfire United. Kelly Thomas, friend of the pod's final game for ABBA. Is that correct?
According to the Cymru football app. No, it's not correct. She's aligned to the pod.
Well, she's played since.
She's played two games since. So I'd like to caveat this podcast and this off you go, Phillips, with Kelly Thomas is a liar. And she's played two games since. So the great fanfare that you'll hear next is unwarranted as far as I'm concerned.
Well, a good day out, though, Phillips, Friday night in Rioter. How does that compare to some of your other trips?
Sounds fantastic. Rioter on a Friday night.
A couple of observations to make.
Do you want to make them or do you want to save them?
It's a very cold place. Very, very cold place. They serve coffee and tea in mugs, so you can't go very far away from the tea hut. And everyone in Rioter seems to play for their first team football team in their tracksuits.
There we are. Right. Let's hear Adrian Phillips' evening out in Rioter for ABBA Women. This is Llanfair United in, was it the Central Wales Women's Cup final? Something like that?
That's correct.
Yeah, you are quite sort of limited on the details within the piece, but
I don't know. I just went there to watch because I thought it was like a showpiece occasion for a Abertown women's legend.
Yeah,
I was sketchy on the details.
Basically, you know, you've got a tracker on the van from Dublin Powers Police. You're just leading them a wild goose chasing it, going all these places.
Yeah, they never find me up there, mate.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. Just before you play it, It was a good game of football. Some really good, really, really good players there. The centre-back, I can't remember her name now, but she'll go a long way.
Yeah.
I mentioned her in the thing, but I couldn't find it on the app today. So apologies to her.
Yeah, there we are. Was she the one you compared to Jarzinho?
Yeah, and Andy Impey.
Andy Impey, there we are. Right, you can hear that now.
I made it to a new ground. I don't know what it's called. Home with a thin red line and ropey music before a game. You're to watch what could be skipper and legend Kelly Thomas's last game. Aberystwyth Town against... Shit, I can't remember who they're playing against. I'll find out now. They're playing Llanfair United, and hopefully you can hear the change in tempo in the music. I'll have to Google where Llanfair United is now. This is poor knowledge for me. Pitch looks brilliant. Lovely summer's night. People hanging about. Not too many people drinking yet, but expect other change. Both committees, you can see them here looking resplendent in their ties. Getting cold up here. A long way north for old Adrian Phillips, this. Without my trusted colleague tonight. He's on a break because of his crap map reading skills. So just Phillips tonight, bringing you blow by blow encounter of Abertown ladies, against Llanfair United. Going to be a cold one, I think. And we're kicking off. Sorry, we've kicked off a good amount of Cymraeg being spoken here on the pitch. Always good to hear. Good early chance for Llanfair United there, fair play. Just got stuck under her feet. 0-0. Minute and a half gone. Sun setting. Agent Phillips is going to be fucking freezing in an hour. Got the tea bar still open, I tell you. And they sell burgers. Just a mention for the Sir Brian Cole stand. If someone hits this, it's going down. There's a wooden post that's... looks like it's older than the railway system up here. absolutely outstanding to see the Seaside manager. Hang on, they're in, yeah? Tampa United? Oh, great covering from the centre half who's wearing number 9. I'll check the name in a minute. I was going to say, well, she's played a lovely ball up the line. End to end stuff now. Inside ball, oh, and it's cleared. Back to what I was saying. Nice to see the Aberystwyth as a town manager wearing old school Puma King mouldies. Nothing better. Thumbs up from Phillips.
I just wanted to know if
Lanford
have got on in their league this year.
Yeah, not really sure it was. Is that lap number 3 now?
Yeah, bad enough.
I've just missed 5 minutes due to a lap walking dog walker, if that makes sense. I remember curry sauce and chips and a mug of tea, which I didn't want to take too far away from the tea hut because of my reputation apparently precedes me. Still 0-0. Whilst I was getting my curry sauce and chips and my mug of coffee, I've missed something, because, no, I haven't. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, I think so. The keeper's handled it outside, the Llanfair keeper's handled it outside the ball. Can't really see, he's miles away from here. There's three Abigail stood over it. Here we go, free kick. Strike it low. Goal 1-0. 1-0 Aberystwyth Town. I'm going to say they deserved it. Costly mistake by the goalkeeper from Llanfair United. Can they recover? We'll see. Also, I know my voice doesn't sound like it. It's a new lease of life after them chips. I don't feel like I'm in fucking Norway at the moment. Ar yr egwyl, Aberystwyth Town, un Llanfair United, dim. Aberystwyth Town, good value for their 1-0 lead at half-time. Now, in a major oversight, I've just realised I haven't got much battery left. So the question is, will Phillips' battery last until the end of the game? Or will this be the first ever curtailed off you go, Phillips? I suppose you'll have to wait and see, won't you? A free there, turn of Aberystwyth Town number 6, Kerry Thomas, to shut up and get on with it after verbals exchanged over a drop ball. Things getting tastier. I'm not going to try and be like the bootlegger. I haven't had as many pints as him tonight, for a change. Good job as a row of conifers behind the goal, yeah, because otherwise that ball would have hit Bilthwell's town square. Have they got a square in town, Bilthwell's? Well, at the Roy Welsh showground then, we'll call it that. But yeah, saved by the conifers behind the goal.
Of these, like the reserves, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. A couple of them have played the first team, though, do they?
Yeah, yeah.
Amy Jenkins.
Amy and Tan. What's the other one who scored the first goal? Oh, that was Amy,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Kelly. Kelly.
Yeah, she overplays for the first, isn't she?
Yeah. I found a co-commentator there, but I can only speak to her every time she comes around after a lap. 2-0 Aberystwyth Town, a lovely finish at the front post after brilliant build-up play. I'll give you the names now in a minute. I was looking them up, but my co-commentator turned up and my third voice, the dog, didn't say anything, as in her dog, the one she's walking around, just for clarification. goal scorer, just for clarification, was Jess Baker. Lovely finish, actually. Flicked in front post as I look at a DHgate advert on the Cymru Football app. Not that I use any fake products, obviously. Pay full price in cash all the time. Number 9 centre-half, Libby Isaac, with a run like, I was going to say Jarzino, but I'll probably show my age. Who could be my modern reference? Andy Impey, a great run. No, he's terrible. Anyway, she picked it up in the middle of the defence and just took on the whole team. Played a 1-2, and nothing came from it. Good player. As is customary in these games, I've just been pressed into ball by action. Ball came flying over the fence. First touch let me down. Chipped it back over the fence, nearly pulled my hamstring. Any physios out there, get in touch. Phillips is a wreck physically. A glorious chance for the Llanfair striker there. Apologies, I can't see with even the number, she's so far away. Straight ball down the middle, split the defence in half. She's gone 1-1 with the goalkeeper and she's put it just wide. Scored means 2-0 to Aberystwyth, who have been playing some lovely stuff and have really bossed the second half. But was that the breakthrough that Llanfair needed to get back in the game? I'm no football expert, I just watch it. So who knows? Carnage at the far end of the field where I can't really see because there's people in the way. Refs blowing his whistle like fuck. People squaring up to each other. And was he giving you a bounce ball? No, some sort of free kick. I don't know what's going on here. No one knows whose free kick it is. Swearing at the ref. Ref doesn't know what's going on. Well, what the fuck's going on here? I thought he'd given a free kick to Abba. Oh well, I'm ready with a free kick. Will my battery hang on? 10 minutes to go. I can't feel my feet. Full-time whistle has just blown. I've just been in survival mode as I am so cold. I know what Scott of the Antarctic felt like now. 2-0 to Aberystwyth, comprehensive win in the end. Second half, they were the better side by quite some distance. Good win. I hope they all celebrate well. I'm going to have to find my way home back to Aberconnell.
Philip, sounded like a cracking day out, and you've made an acquaintance by the sound of it.
Yeah, no idea what my co-commentator's name was, but she did a total of 6 laps, I think, of that game.
Yeah.
And provided great insight after lap 3.
Good stuff. Well, a cracking day out again by the sounds of it. You got anything else lined up now in the off-season coming? You know, the season is winding down. I think we've still got one from about a month ago that we'll do at some point.
Yeah, rumours you're going to be going around safari packs or something.
Might do cricketing with Phillips.
Yeah,
I probably
that would
won't.
Be great.
I've got an apology to make to Andrew Dowling, as I am a lucky charm for Tom Pentre. They're on the Bulldogs. I didn't bother going to watch his team on Saturday and they lost.
Oh, well, there we are. Sorry to hear that, Dowling, but you've only got Phillips to blame.
Yeah, blame me at the Bulldogs.
There we are. Right, Phillips, I think that's enough. Rod, send him on his way.
Yeah, go away. Go away, Phillips.
Yeah, good. We'll let you boys. Yeah. We'll let you boys. Adios.
Welcome back to part 2 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Another fantastic off you go, Phillips, there. Thoroughly enjoyed. Anyway, let's do our lineup game before we do your questions. After the last one we did, I think we went quite far back to me. I think it was 80s. I've gone not quite as far back, but still a bit of time to a nice random friendly. It was Japan 0, Wales 1 in the Kirin Cup out in Japan on the 7th of June, 1992. Right. Let's start then. who won last time? I can't remember.
Was it the late 80s one?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, unbelievable.
It's a similar time, wasn't it? Was it 88 or 87?
Yeah, I think so.
This will be slightly easier, but not a lot easier, I don't
know. Yeah, well, it's got that friendly edge, isn't it, where you start doubting yourself. Let's start then. Kaus, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first, please.
Right then, kick things off for us.
Big Nev.
Correct. Confidence there, Kaus. Yeah. I like it. Rod?
I've got one confident answer. I hope it's right. I hope he didn't come on as a sub and get sent off. But was it when Roberts got sent off?
He got sent off and he did start. Yeah. Well played. 60th minute red card. one of his eight caps.
I was going to say one striker's gone. I'm not going to go for him. I'm not confident on anyone now, but I'm thinking, see, we're just before a few lads coming through, aren't we? Yeah. I'm gonna have to go Mark Hughes.
Correct. Mark Hughes did play. Well played. Rodri, pressure's on.
I'm going to go for Barry Horn.
Bang on. Captain as well. Very well played. So a perfect start so far. 4 out of 4. Kaus, this could be big.
Oh, God, this is tough. Right. It's too early for a couple. I'm going to go Hazelwood.
Yes, he did play. Very good. Very good. Right, Rod, pressure's on now. You can't let Kaus win again.
No. Yeah, I'm going to struggle, you know. What year do you say?
92. I'm assuming this would have been just before the USA 94 campaign got going.
Yes. Ratcliffe still there? Kevin Ratcliffe?
No, unfortunately not.
That was going to be my next one. A big shout.
There's a risk.
Yes. Well played, boys. That was pretty good. And to be fair, it was fairly strong team considering it was a friendly in Japan at the end of the season.
Rush wasn't playing, I'm guessing.
No, Rush. But never saw something goal.
It's too early for Speed.
No, Speed played.
Oh, did he? Wow.
Yeah, Speed played. So it was Southland goal, Hazelwood, Mark Bowen, Kit Simons, Clayton Blackmore, David Phillips, Barry Horn, Gary Speed, Mark Hughes, Ewan Roberts, and Dean Saunders. Andy Melville and Mark Pembridge off the bench. So, not a bad side, that. David Phillips feels like the Conor Roberts of this period. He's like, he's got a lot of caps, and he isn't really sort of a marquee name, is he? So maybe I'll start doing games from this period that he missed.
He's a forgetting Phillips. Keep forgetting Blackmore as well. Clayton Blackmore slipped my mind a lot.
Obviously playing for United at the time. One of the only Welsh players in the Premier League. Sorry. God. Terry Yorath in charge. Good effort. Well done, Kaus. Another win. Starting to rack him up a bit now.
Yeah, he's dominating. TN Kaus.
Let's do your questions then to finish off. Some belters tonight, particularly good ones. Andrew Dowling asks, if you could jump into a pool of anything, what would it be full of? Rod?
I really love this question, but I just haven't had the time to think about a great answer. It needs a great answer. It's something I've thought about a lot of times before. What is the right answer to this? Angel Delight's a big one. Butterscotch Angel Delight. That'd be a hell of a thing to dive into.
I think just like a nicely temperatured water is sort of the best answer.
That's an obvious answer, but it's very boring, isn't it? What about like these people smoking vapes out their vans on the way to work? Like all that mist, but fill the pool with that mist, and then you get badly injured at the bottom of the pool because it doesn't have any substance to it. But there's too much mist, so they can't find you wrecked at the bottom of the pool. That's the thought that went through my head. I don't know why, but that's not what I don't want to jump into that, though. Loads of soggy chips.
soggy chips.
Cowsome,
I can list loads of things, yeah.
Anything jump to mind for you?
Custard. Fucking love custard.
Yeah,
oh, good, yeah. Custard. Yeah, lovely.
Do you not think that it's so like dense that if you were to jump in like to a cannonball, like surely there'd be some sort of physics where like you wouldn't actually hit the water and it would just be solid? Or I don't know if I'm talking out of my arse.
No,
I know what you mean. It,
with a skin on top.
Yeah, what do they call it? Albumen. When it like forms like an albumen. Is that the correct word?
The meniscus of custard. What was I going to say?
I'm using my physics or biology or whatever it is, purely based on Bob Mortimer and would I lie to you there? So custard. I love a bit of custard though. Or a bit of again. I don't know if you'd be able to like go
vinegar.
Straight, but Angel Delight.
That's what Roger said. Yeah,
I said Angel Delight.
Nice to hear that you were listening, Kev.
I've just had a message from a disgruntled employee.
Distracted.
That question from Dowlin's reminded me of I don't know was it one of you that sent it or someone sent a video to me on Instagram of a man how to survive falling into a barn full of corn.
That's
don't jump into a barn of corn because you're gonna drown in the corn. That's all I can say.
I think I'd go like a massive pool of ramen, quite like a ramen.
Hot ramen.
Well, not hot enough that it burns me to death, but like hot that like I can get in there and move around and sort of. It's like a Japanese broth with like noodles, and you can tell that you're from North Wales, Kaus. No offense. to be fair, Cardiff only had its first ramen place not too long ago, but it's bloody good. And you know, you can walk around. Oh, there's a fucking spring onion there. Yeah. And then a bit of chicken. Lovely.
We've got Greg's. Is it like that?
Something like that. Yeah. So something like just Japanese Bovril with big bits of veg and meat in.
Boys, I had a Bovril on Saturday. Honestly. It was so nice. I was so surprised.
Nice. It is nice.
Honestly, I really liked it. Because, you know, it's one of them, you think, Bovril, I'm not having one of them. Mm. And the cameraman with me, he goes, yeah, go on, have a try. I tried it. It was fucking beautiful.
It's lovely, yeah. So Bovril or custard for Kaus?
Yeah, Bovril. Yeah, I'm going to change it to Bovril. Bovril and custard mixed together.
Hyping hot Bovril.
And to see Tommy Kaus having a Bovril on Saturday, tune in to Men in Blazers YouTube channel on Thursday. Sponsored by Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Are you not contractually Cold Brew Coffee?
Well, I mean, you've just fucking ruined that, haven't you? What was I going to say? I wanted to go back to custard, though. Because I'm firmly of the opinion that there is a special place in hell for people who have cold custard.
Yeah, I think I can get on board
with
that.
Nice, hot or cold?
No, it's got to be hot. Or at least warm. I mean, cold. That's disgusting.
Haven't you had custard donuts or Manchester tart? You might have had a few of them, I don't know.
Before moving on.
I've had a Shansanan slice before now. I don't know.
That sounds terribly dirty. we should really move on. We spent enough time on this, but I just want to throw KFC gravy out there. I feel like Kaus, you could.
I put my fingers on them before the gravy from KFC. It's too hot.
Yeah, well,
came straight from the kiln for me that time.
Plenty of food for thought there, or liquid for thought.
Cacti.
Cacti. No, I'd like to dive it. You know, like is it Scrooge McDuck on DuckTales?
We need to move on.
This is the podcast now.
Dives into like a load of money. He's got like a vault. He dives into a load of money.
That would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Lady Pixie asks another important burning question: is birthday cake the best cake? Kaus, thoughts on birthday cake?
Any cake is good, but birthday cake if. Oh, nice gatto. Nice gatto, I like, to be honest.
Yeah. There we are.
Talking of custard, that question is just reminding me of what I think is the best cake, is the cake you get in school. Sponge and custard.
Yeah.
School.
I like birthday cake because you usually get like nonsense thick icing on it, and I'm a big icing man. So probably birthday cake is the best cake. I think that's that's fair to say. Naughty Nath, friend of the pod. He says, who's the footballer that made you fall in love with the game? A nice football question, this, actually. Yeah. Kaus, who was the one that your first sort of footballing hero as a kid?
I had two, actually. Like, get Ryan Giggs, I have to say, 100%.
Yeah, I was saying, from a Wales perspective, I think Giggs for me.
No, not for me.
Yeah, 100%. And a player for Denby Town called Graham Hunter, who was absolutely unbelievable. I thought he was like God when I was about nine. Graham Hunter, big shout out there. He lives down the road from me now as well. I see him in the bookies.
Oh, dear. Rod, what about you?
Two for me as well. Both Leeds, but Gary Speed was the original for me, for Wales as well. Used to love him and Tony Eboa, but purely because them goals was around the time I started really getting interested in football. And nice. as a five or 6 year old, just seeing barring goals, it used to excite me like nothing else at that age. So yeah, those are my two.
Yeah, yeah. For me, from a Cardiff perspective, Andy Legg, Danny Gabardon, Robert Earnshaw, Graham Kavanagh, Peter Thorne. I think, or pretty much that
name of the whole team. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of between 2000 and 2004.
Yeah.
Just absolute, feel like they're my glory years, my favourite memories of Cardiff.
I'll throw a few more in there. Rod Wallace.
Scott Young, Andy Campbell. How many others?
Yeah, like? Yeah, yeah. Leo Fortune West.
David Weatherhall.
Andy Lee.
Yeah, Alan Lee.
Alan Lee. Yeah.
Thank you. But yeah, and then Wales. Yeah, Giggs. He was sort of, you know, the big one.
John Holworth.
And also, I think Bellamy as well, because like that Spencer Italy Pryor. Game. Or we were just naming Cardiff players for the time now. Like, there we are. Sort of really falling off the rails this podcast has since that fucking pool question. Right. To get back on track, we've got another great question from the Podfather, Alan March. He says, do you believe in an alternative universe? Is there another version of you out there? Have you ever met anyone who has the same name as you? Now, you pair probably have. You've got fairly common names. I don't think I have ever met another Ryan March. I wouldn't want to meet another Ryan March, to be quite honest.
Ryan April? But,
yeah, well, you know, you never know. I've always thought about what would happen if I, you know, married someone with a first name of a month. Like if I met a girl called April and we got married and she was called April March or something. That'd be pretty insane, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, anyway, on to the alternative universe chat. Alternative universes, Rod. I feel like this is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, completely. Just unfortunately. Unfortunately, I love this sort of shit. It's something I've put a lot of thought in over the years. I completely believe in alternative. I think it's endless. I think everything we do, second by second, is happening slightly differently elsewhere in the universe, and it leads to various consequences. So, yeah, there's probably about 68 trillion versions of me that are already dead. And you ever had that feeling when someone goes, oh, someone's walked over your grave, you know, when you have that little shiver? That's when your alternative universe persona has died, apparently, is another theory I've read. So, yeah, I'm all for that shit. No one really knows, so try and prove me wrong then.
Kaus, alternative universes, where do you stand on them?
Yeah, no, there isn't. What's the next question?
Where's your proof, mate?
Well, there's only one alternative universe I believe in, and that is alternative Wales.
Did you and your dad plan that question?
No. But what he has done is he sent me a few Wikipedia pages of people with the same names as us. So we've got Rodri Davis, born Aberystwyth, 1971. Funnily enough, we were talking about harps earlier before the pod started, don't ask. But he is a harp player working within the field of free improvisation. He was one of the most prominent members of the London Reductionist School of Improvised Music that was active in the late 1990s and early 2000s, and which has been described as being extremely influential over the last decade. So there we are, Rod.
What a knob.
fucking grow up and it go and play the ball.
Yeah. Get a real instrument, mate.
Well, talking about knobs, Sir Thomas Lewis. Right, after a massive panic there, where my computer crashed and died, I don't know why, never happened before. Maybe it was the alternative universe chat trying to sort of get back at me for poo-pooing it. But we've managed to salvage all the recording, so you're listening. And I've just got to finish on our what's it called? What we were saying about our alter egos that my dad had sent through. Mine is born in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Ryan March began acting at an early age. His mother, Marianne, directed him and his sister, Nicole, in numerous plays. Ryan's big break came when playing college soccer. He was discovered by elite model management agent David Lowe and was signed after dropping 15 pounds of muscle. So make of that what you will. Clearly a much more successful Ryan March.
Agent Lowe
was
off.
Yeah. And finally, Agent Phillips works as a regional sub-director for the Department of Federal Investigation. literally, that, Agent that Phillips.
That would actually make a lot of sense. To
it would, wouldn't it? Yeah, undercover yeah. Phillips.
Mole in so, the yeah. camp.
Yeah. That, they are our alter egos in a different universe, I guess. And I'm sorry for slagging it off. Please don't make my computer crash again. right, let's finish up then with Boosh's question. Here he is. I know what I like, and I like what I know. Getting better in your wardrobe, sang Genesis psychedelic era. I've got 28 football shirts. A new Conwy Borough FC player worn one arrived today. How many do you have and which is your favourite? Love my Cymru 70s or Speedo Kappa shirt. Amazed that we haven't really had this question before. Obviously, we've had a lot of kit-related questions. Kaus, have you got much of a collection? And if so, what is your favourite?
Yeah, I've got a fair old collection. I haven't bought a replica shirt for a long while now. Earlier, my video's, something's happened with my video now, so you two can't see me, but I was wearing an old Wrexham late 80s Marston's Ales shirt. That's one of my favourites. I used to buy all the Wales shirts, like religiously. Every time a Wales shirt came out, I'd buy it, but I don't think I've bought any since maybe about 2014, 15 now. So yeah, I've got loads. I've probably got I've got about 40 to be honest. My favourite though, at a push, if you're pushing me, I think 2002-2003 promotion season with Wrexham. It's not necessarily the shirt; it's more the memories of that season. But yeah, I think it was made by Van Danel, which was just a shit. but yeah, the shirt was worn by Trendle, Carlos Edwards, Darren Ferguson, Andy Dibble. So, yeah, well, not Andy Dibble, because he played in goal. But, yeah, that was a special one. I like that one. But, yeah, I've got some fantastic Wales ones as well. So, I love them all.
Yeah. Have you got much of a collection, Rod? I know you got a lot of nonsense sort of copy shirts.
I've got a lot of, like, cheap shirts that I've bought off the internet from Far East sources. But, in terms of stuff I've owned over the years, I got a lot of Leeds stuff and a lot of Wales kits going back years. My favourite was the Lotto one with the green and white line up the middle. But I had that as a kid, so I don't know where that's gone. And it 100% wouldn't fit my leg these days. So, but yeah, I've got a couple of Uganda international football shirts as well. I've been gifted because of my random obsession with that nation. So they're quite smart. It's just I've piled on so much pounds, I can't fit into any of these shirts anymore without embarrassing myself. So I don't wear them too often.
Well, yeah. I don't know how many I've got. I've got a bloody lot. And I reckon that if all the Wales and Cardiff shirts I own were in adult sizes, I'd probably be sitting on a fortune. But they're not. They're all in kids' sizes. I've started in recent years, sort of collecting shirts from places I go, either just traveling or working or with Wales. So my favourite sort of Cardiff or Wales one I own, again, I've got the three. I think it was 2000 and would have been 2002. No, maybe 01-02 season. I think it's the kit we beat Leeds in. It was like a blue one, but there was a red copy and a green copy. We had a blue, red, and green, three of them, and I got all three of them full kit. But obviously, they're like, yeah, kid sizes, which is a shame because they're absolutely belt in.
Ken Thorne's World of Cars.
Yeah, made by, yeah. It was like Xara.
Xara, is it? Yeah, something like
made
that.
Them. They're great.
Unfortunately.
And I think non-Cardiff or Wales shirt. I've got a Vasco da Gama shirt that my parents bought when my mum was working out on the Paralympics in 2016 and my dad went to visit and they went to watch Vasco da Gama and they got me a shirt there. And that's a really cool one because it's from Brazil. I like that a lot. So there we are. There we go, Boosh. Right, that'll do for tonight. Thank God for Zoom for saving the chat. Otherwise, this brilliant podcast you've just heard would all be for nothing. I've got 2% battery, so let's make it quick. Kaus, any closing statements?
I love custard. Great. Yeah, that's about it, really.
Good stuff.
Good luck to my my alter ego in a different universe. I believe he's got his poetry recital tonight. So
good luck, son.
That goes well. All the best.
Rod, anything from you and you're picking a song? What have you got?
No, all the best to my alternative ego as well. There's many trillion versions of them. And in terms of song, I'm gonna insist we all get our raving shoes on. Now I've been talking about Scooter for a while, so let's get I'm Raving by Scooter on. Pure nonsense.
Yes. I think you've done it before, but we'll do it again. We haven't got
have I done that one before?
Yeah,
that was his alter ego, that wasn't it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Oh, if that one's been done, put on Jumping All Over the World, because that's equally as nonsense.
Yeah, Cymru All Over the World. Right, that'll do for tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with your season review. Diolch yn fawr. Goodbye. Let's get together and jumping all over.